Ready to go?
Okay, fine. Next Sunday, I get to take a break. Pastor Chris from Christian Life Church will be delivering the main message, so I get a chance to take it easy next week. But since we're in the Thanksgiving season, I decided to go ahead and speak on the subject today. This is my Thanksgiving sermon, so bear with me if you will. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. I always enjoy the Thanksgiving season when it comes around. It's a time for celebration. It's a time for many things. It's a time for family. For those of us who enjoy it, it's a time for football. A lot of football games on, a lot of good food to eat. But unfortunately, Bible prophecy, and this is a prophecy from the Apostle Paul to Timothy, talks here about the end times and what people are going to be like. See if it kind of makes sense to you in the society we're living in today. Paul says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful," and I want to stop right there because that's the main point I'm talking about today. Since we're talking about Thanksgiving, a time of being thankful, this prophecy says that in our times, end times, people will be ungrateful, unthankful. And I don't know if that hits home with you today as you think about just how things are in the world today and in our society, in America. Instead of an attitude of gratitude, which God tells us that we should have, many today feel a sense of entitlement. Now, that's a word that has become popular over the past few years. Entitlement. What is entitlement? Entitlement is a delusion, actually, built on self-centeredness and laziness. Instead of people being thankful for what they have, they feel that they're entitled to it, that they deserve it. Instead of receiving blessings or making something of their life and making a career that they can take pride in, they just feel that things should be given to them. A couple of quotes here. An entitlement attitude makes it impossible to be happy, because the more you feel you're entitled to, there's always more that you want. And somebody can come along and give you $1 million and you still feel that you're entitled to more. It's never ending. That's why an attitude of entitlement is so wrong in God's sight. Gratitude and entitlement, gratitude on one hand, thankfulness and entitlement cannot exist in the same brain. You either have a sense of thankfulness or you have this feeling of entitlement. Happiness always comes from feeling that you've been blessed by God. Entitlement is a feeling that you deserve everything you have and even more. So let's look inwardly now. What does our attitude seem to be in this world today? Do we have a sense of entitlement that we're owed things? We're either owed things by the government, we're owed things by the community, we're owed things by whatever organization we belong to, we're owed things by our parents, we're owed things by our employer. That attitude is rampant today. Or do we have an attitude of thankfulness, starting with God and then reaching out toward others who are in our lives? You know, it's getting to the point that Thanksgiving is losing its meaning in our society today. There's a new thing, I don't know if you've heard of it. Instead of calling it Thanksgiving, people are calling it Friendsgiving. Friendsgiving. And when you take the word thanks out of it, the celebration loses its meaning. It becomes a time to just get together with your friends. And a lot of people enjoy more getting together with their friends than they do getting together with their family, because some families don't get along well. And, you know, going to a Thanksgiving celebration becomes a real challenge for some people because they don't get along with their relatives. They'd rather gather a group of people they really get along with and meet with them. It's a fine idea, but it just takes the whole sense of thankfulness out of the picture. I'd like to read something to you. I don't know if most of you know when Thanksgiving began, but it first began during the American Civil War. And it started with a proclamation from President Abraham Lincoln. Let me take a moment or two to just read through the proclamation he made. This is the year 1864, right in the midst of the Civil War. He said this: "It has pleased Almighty God to prolong our national life another year." So right away, President Lincoln points to God. This is going to be a celebration of Thanksgiving that he's going to start. And he points to God immediately. You know, it pleased God to let us as a nation exist for another year, defending us with his guardian care against unfriendly designs from abroad and vouchsafing to us in his mercy many a signal victory over the enemy who is of our own household. How ironic. Here we are at war, he says, and we're fighting against Americans, the Union against the Confederacy, the North against the South. It has also pleased our Heavenly Father to favor us as well, our citizens in their homes, as our soldiers in their camps, and our sailors on the rivers and seas with unusual health. He has largely augmented our free population by emancipation, bringing about the end of slavery, and by immigration. While he has opened to us new sources of wealth and has crowned the labor of our working men in every department of industry with abundant rewards. Moreover, he has pleased to animate and inspire our minds and hearts with fortitude, courage, and resolution sufficient for the great trial of civil war into which we have been brought by our adherence as a nation to the cause of freedom and humanity, and to afford to us reasonable hopes of an ultimate and happy deliverance from all our dangers and afflictions. So he says, "Now therefore I, Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, do hereby appoint and set apart the last Thursday in November, next as a day which I desire to be observed by all fellow citizens, wherever they may be, as a day of thanksgiving and praise to Almighty God." When's the last time you heard a president proclaim something like that? Bringing God into the picture, saying we as a nation need to set aside a day just to praise and worship our God. He calls him the beneficent creator and ruler of the universe. "As I do further recommend to my fellow citizens aforesaid, that on that occasion they do reverently humble themselves in the dust." That's what he's telling Americans to do. "Humble yourselves in the dust and from thence offer up penitent and fervent prayers and supplication to the great disposer of events," that's God, "for a return of the inestimable blessings of peace, union, and harmony throughout the land, which it has pleased him to assign as a dwelling place for ourselves and for our posterity throughout all generations. In testimony whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed." Wow. I wish we had a president like that. We need a president like that. Amen. To set not only us, but all the nation back to God. And I think to a great extent, Thanksgiving today, for those who celebrate it, is about yourself. It's about eating. It's about watching football on TV, whatever else you get involved with. But God has been taken from the picture. We as Christians have been given a challenge to bring God back into the picture. We as Christians should be, above all people, the most thankful because we realize what God has given us. You know what? He's given the same thing to the world. They don't understand it or they reject it. Jesus died for all. He's only going to die once, and he died for the whole human race. Now it's up to each individual to respond to that salvation that he has provided for us by his death on the cross. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 16. This is the charge that Paul gives us individually as Christians. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, he says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So again, we should, above all people, be most thankful because we truly understand, we get it. We know what Jesus came to earth to do, and God has given us the privilege of responding to that. We've repented of our sins. We've chosen Jesus Christ to be our Savior, and God has claimed us as His own, as His beloved sons and daughters. So thankfulness should be a way of life for us because we know we deserve nothing, and everything we receive is a gift and a blessing. You know, that's the problem with having an attitude of entitlement. You feel that you're owed things by whomever. Maybe some Christians even feel that they're owed things by God. You know what? The world doesn't owe us anything. And to tell you the truth, God doesn't owe us. He doesn't owe us anything. God didn't owe us salvation. He gave it to us through His mercy and grace. He could have left us all hanging because of our sins, but He didn't. He had mercy and grace upon us, and He provided for us something that He didn't need to provide. And He still could be considered God, but He sent His Son down here to become one of us, to do the necessary things so that He would take our place in His death on the cross, the death that we all deserve. That's what we deserved, death. But God, through His grace and mercy, reached out in His mercy and gave us salvation. Let's turn to Psalm 136. Look at a couple of the Psalms here because it talks about thankfulness. Our thankfulness is a response to God's grace and mercy. Psalm 136, verse 1, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." So David here points out two reasons why we should give thanks to God. Not one day out of the year on Thanksgiving, but throughout the year, every day of our lives. And the two reasons for us to be thankful, first of all, God's constant goodness. And what a relief it is that we have a God who is good. I had the opportunity in school to study a lot of world religions and ancient religions, and some kingdoms had a pantheon of gods, not just one God, but a whole host of gods that they were to worship. And most of them, if not all of them, were pretty nasty individuals. You know, you had to worship your God just so that you would not die and have bad things happen to you all the time. So when you go through the streets of ancient Rome, when you go through the streets of ancient Athens, there was practically some sort of a shrine, an altar on every corner. And all of these gods demanded to be worshiped so that no bad things would happen to you or to your country. They were angry all the time. They demanded such things as even your children to be sacrificed and offered to them. But our God is good. So that's one reason to worship Him, that we have a loving, good God. So His goodness, and as the scripture said, His steadfast love. And we have done a lot of things in our lives to possibly negate God's love for us. Sin, ignoring God, rejecting God, as some of us did early on in our lives before we came to our senses. And God never let go. He never turned His back on us. He's the God who says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." So God has love for us. He's good, and His love endures forever. When we realize we are nothing apart from God, our natural response is to be grateful for the life that He gives us. And let's not forget, when God came to us, we were dead. Scripture says, dead in our sins. And what God did was he grabbed us, he embraced us, he lifted us back up from death to sin. We know there's coming a future resurrection from the dead when Jesus Christ returns, but in a sense, we have already been resurrected by God. So that's why we praise God. He brought us from death to life, and the life that we're living now, it may end physically, but it goes beyond the grave. We've been promised to be with God eternally. That's the life he's given us. Turn now to Psalm 28 and verse 6. Psalm 28 and verse 6. David once again says this, "Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will thank him in song." So, you know, sometimes when we pray to God, our human mind thinks, well, when God answers this prayer, I'm really going to thank him. David thanked God before the prayer was even answered because he had the privilege of praying to God, you know, and putting his problems in God's hands, hoping for the best, hoping that God will answer, you know, the way he wants him to answer. But in spite of that, sometimes we pray for things and we don't get them. We should thank God because we have entrusted our lives to him and he's going to do what's best for us. And sometimes his idea of what's best for us goes contrary to what we think God should do, you know, to make us happy. When we look back in life, you know, we're going to realize that there are some things we didn't get that we prayed for, and it was for our own good. If we would have gotten that thing that we prayed for, if God would have blessed us with that, our lives would have been miserable. So God knows what's best, and he always does what's best for us. And that means sometimes when we pray, the answer might be no, or not now. So David was praying here, and he thanked God merely for the privilege of praying to him and for the fact that God heard his prayer for mercy. David's thankfulness was not based solely on a positive response from God. It's important to express thankfulness to God even during difficult times, because chances are that God is working out some greater purpose in your life, as Pastor Dave just told us the story. You know, when he set out on his trip, and it was an uncomfortable trip, or he had other things to do, he didn't want to make this trip to this particular house, God was working out his purpose all along. Amen. Let's turn now to Hebrews 12 and verse 28. The writer of Hebrews tells us about thankfulness. He says there, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken," and we are all receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, that's the kingdom of God, "let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." So don't just give thanks for the things that you have. Give thanks for the things God has promised you. Whether you realize it or not, we are all now in the kingdom of God. We don't see the fullness of it yet. That won't happen until Jesus returns. And that is going to be so fantastic that our human minds can't even comprehend what that's going to be like. So God doesn't take pains to try to explain it to us now. He just tells us that it's going to be good, real good, to be in that kingdom. But we are already in it now. We're just waiting for the return of Jesus Christ to enjoy the fullness of it. So here the writer of Hebrews tells us, don't just be thankful for the here and now, for what you have now. Be thankful for the future, what God has promised us. Because with God, it surely will be. There's a scripture where it says, "God, who calls things that are not as though they were." Because when God makes a promise, it will surely come to pass. So the kingdom of God in all of its fullness, we should thank God for it now. We're thankful that we're in it, you know, to the extent that we can enjoy it now and have the assurance that we have been placed in the kingdom of God. But when we think about the future, when we think about the resurrection from the dead, when we think about going to the place that Jesus said he was going to prepare for us in heaven, when we visualize what that might be like, we should give God thanks for it now. So once again, we are to be very thankful people. One last scripture I'll turn to in 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 6. Talking about thanking God even through difficult times. That's hard to do. But nevertheless, we have been admonished to do it. 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now that's a contrary thought to most people in the world today. Rejoice and praise God and thank God when you're in the midst of trial. It doesn't make sense. But with God it does. Because we realize that trials work important purposes and lessons in our life. Our faith must grow. And one of the ways God determines is a good way to grow faith is for us to go through trials. Because what we have to do is have our confidence in God, that he's going to bring us through the trial, that we're going to survive it. And even if a trial brings about our death, we're looking beyond our death to our eternal existence with God, okay? Remember the scripture said Jesus Christ told us, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? Faith. That's what he's looking for in our lives. Faith. Reliance on God. Dependence on God. Looking to God, drawing closer to him in relationship. That's what he wants to see grow in our lives. And you know what? He could let us go through this life as if it were a bowl of cherries or a bed of roses. In fact, I think some people, you know, as they come to be Christians, they think that that's what's in store for them. Now that they've accepted Jesus as their Savior, boy, I'm going to be on the right side all the time. I've got a God looking out for me. He's going to bless me in this way. He's going to bless me in that way. And you know what? Blessings come along in this life. But God wants you to grow in faith. And one of the chief ways of doing that, unfortunately, is going through difficult trials. Because it's easy to have faith when life is beautiful every day. But it's harder to have faith when you wake up in the morning and you can hardly get out of bed because of the pain. And whatever other health condition you might have or whatever other poverty situation you might be going through or relationship problems that you might have in your life. It draws you closer to God. You got to rely on him for a solution to these problems and for encouragement during these problems. And you know, we have certain trials in America. When you travel and visit Christians in other parts of the world, especially the poverty-laden nations, there's a whole new set of trials that they're going through that are much different than our trials. Yeah, they have some that are the same. But when you wake up in the morning and you don't have drinkable water available to you, and you don't have electricity available to you, and when you have terrible rulers ruling over you with a lot of people running around with weapons that are going to kill you if you don't do what the president says or what the emperor says or what the king says, it's a very far more difficult life to live. And there are Christians in the world today living in such conditions. Amen. And we read about it a little bit when we read through the book of Acts, and that what the early Christians had to go through, being ruled over by a character like Nero, the emperor of Rome. So we should be thankful, as we saw in our study today, because God is worthy of our thanksgiving. He didn't have to do anything for us. He could have let us live out our miserable lives, sin-filled lives, until death and be done with us. But he had a plan for us. Why? Because he's merciful, because he's loving. He's worthy of our thanksgiving. It is only right to credit him for every good and perfect gift he gives. I don't know about you, but when good things happen in my life, I want to go to God first and give him credit for it and thank him for it. Somebody might say, well, this is my lucky day. I'd say, you know, you're blessed. It's not a matter of luck. When we are thankful, our focus moves off selfish desires. It moves off a sense of entitlement and off the pain of current circumstances, and our focus goes to God, who is good and who loves us very much. So expressing thankfulness helps us remember that God is in control of our lives. Amen. I don't know about you, I still get into bad attitudes occasionally. Do any of you wake up on the wrong side of the bed and for whatever reason, start to be negative and critical of a lot of things? It's a good time to express thanks to God, because it reminds us that he's in control. I'm not in control, he's in control. Thankfulness then is not only appropriate, it is actually healthy and beneficial to us. Do you like to be around a person who's in a bad attitude all the time? I don't. It reminds us of the bigger picture, that we belong to God, that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We focus on the physical blessings that we don't have, but the scripture tells us that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. God the Father gave us his Son. What more can he do? That's the most important possession that he had, if you will, but he was willing to let go of his Son to come down to this earth. And when you think about the comparison, our life here on this earth compared to God's life in heaven, Jesus was willing to put that all aside and come down here and to slog through the mud just like we do, and to feel all the pain that we feel, and be thirsty and to be hungry and whatever else. He was willing to put that all aside for our benefit. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. So God has given us an abundant life. And thankfulness is an appropriate response, don't you think? So let's not lose the meaning of thanksgiving. I hope that if you gather together with friends or family on Thanksgiving, that if nobody else does, take the lead and ask a blessing on the meal. Give thanks to God and somehow remind everybody what this is all about. And certainly you as a Christian, if nothing else, offer a silent prayer. But let's thank God. Let's be people who are thankful to God, to realize who he is and who we are in comparison. And it's so wonderful and such a blessing that we have a God who is good and whose love lasts forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for reminding us the kind of people we should be. We're thankful for the president that we had, President Lincoln, who long ago set up this day and expressed the meaning for it. And he was right on the mark when he did that. So Father, let us not lose sight of that, and not just one day out of the year, but all the time, to be thankful and appreciative of what you've done for us. We love you, Father, and let us express our thanks to you in whatever way we possibly can. We thank you, and we pray this all now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.